Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So wouldn't it be interesting here to see that there was an advanced civilization thousands of years ago? Something happened to cause that civilization to blow up, whatever, some worldwide catastrophe. Some people think we're doing it to ourselves right now with global warming, that maybe in 50 or 100 years, we will be a relic for the next civilization, if one exists, to replace.
Yes. I actually do subscribe to that idea personally, and that's really what kind of what got me started with the ancient civilization stuff. And that's the knowledge that we've had multiple dark ages, and that's a known idea. So we have the dark ages that we know about that occurred after the fall of the Roman Empire. But prior to that, we had actually had a dark age before that, which existed prior to the golden age of the Greeks, where it was stated that we had, you know, knowledge just looking at kind of the art and the architecture of that time before that just suddenly got lost. There's some sort of catastrophe of some sort that caused there to be a loss of information. So the idea is that with what you're talking about, Gene, is that how many times has this happened? We know of at least two. And as you said, we're potentially heading toward another one. For example, Troy, the ancient city of Troy, people believed was not real. They believed that it only existed in mythology for a very long time. Until the late 20th century, they actually found it. What people don't realize is that when you hear the story of the Iliad and you read that story from Homer, that wasn't, and you know, you watch movies and you read and you kind of have this interpretation that it's supposed to be contemporary with what Homer is talking about. So when you see, you know, when you watch like the Odyssey or you watch Troy or any of those movies, you see it really shown to kind of be people that are being represented in the golden age of the Greek Empire. They're dressed similarly to how people would be dressed in Greece at the time of Homer and things along those lines. What people fail to realize is that those stories, that story of the Iliad, the story of Troy, was actually ancient, was history for the Greeks. It's what happened before the Dark Age. That was actually during what would be considered the Bronze Age. And that since, you know, there was decline in civilization after Troy and all those things happened, that we only were able to keep track of the history and the stories by verbal history and their stories. So then once the Greeks, you know, really started to kind of pick up again and really civilization started to kind of build up again, then they're able to document it. And then that's why we have the Iliad and the Odyssey. But, yeah, they've tracked down the historical Troy that is talked about in the Iliad. So that's really just an example of exactly what you're talking about with, you know, we had things before, we lost them. What else is out there that we don't know about that happened so long ago that we forgot?
The thing I wonder here is, how long would it take for most of the relics of our civilization to largely disappear? So if a race came here from another planet or humans became advanced over a period of the next 10,000 years and they look to their past to see what happened, what would be left for them to find?
Well, there's a really interesting show about that, actually. It's like Life After Humans, and it goes into how long it would take for the various things that we've made in our society to just sort of vanish and disappear. And some stuff would be around for, you know, literally millions of years. I don't think that civilization today that it spans our entire globe. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have to wait for a complete subduction of all of the continents back down into the earth and up again. And that won't happen until our sun burns out. So that's sort of where I would go with that. What I find interesting, Kelly, with what you were talking about is that the way these other past civilizations disappeared, they either sank into the ocean, mm-hmm. or they went up into the sky, or they were destroyed by some great power, some god power, like the, you know, the gods were angry and like Jericho or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when, and that's very true. I mean, well, with the thing with Troy was that it really, you know, there was a war. The city was destroyed, and then another city was built on top of it. And that because it was a good location. But, you know, with regards to things disappearing because they fell into the ocean or, you know, et cetera, when you look at, you know, the story of Atlantis, not that I'm saying that there was the Atlantis that a lot of people talk about, but, you know, in my opinion, with all of the theories and research that I've done, I am of the belief and understanding that, for example, Atlantis was actually the Minoan civilization, which is in the Mediterranean. Because historically, what had happened was they were kind of competing with the Greeks at the time, but the Minoans, you know, had a good, you know, import-export business. They had a lot of resources. So the Greeks were not able to take over until, here's what's interesting, it's known that there was actually a tidal wave that came and destroyed their main port and wiped out a large portion of the population that were living in that highly populated area, which was on a separate island from the main Minoan island that we know of today. So there's the whole idea that perhaps that's where the idea of Atlantis came from, that, you know, that there was this city and it was great. They had all this great stuff. They were, you know, had all sorts of culture and knowledge, and then they got wiped out and it fell into the ocean.
And I've seen shows about this. And by the way, I completely agree with you on this, where divers have gone down and you can see remnants of buildings they've recovered pottery and lots of stuff from the Minoan culture. So we're not talking about just sheer mythology here. We're talking about an actual culture that did exist.
Yes. You know, and when Plato wrote about it, when he wrote about Atlantis, you know, he was just kind of, he always wrote in metaphors and using symbolism. So he just chose Atlantis as a name for it because he wanted to make it sound more magical as he's describing this place. But really, you know, it comes from something that's real.
And so that's what they say. A lot of mythology is inspired by real events. And in some way, shape, or form, it's just connecting those dots.
Mm-hmm. And that's really, you know, kind of the fun part of this for me is connecting those dots and really finding that real story behind it.
Well, that's pretty cool. So do you have any training in archaeology or history? Yeah, or
not in archaeology, but I do have, well, I majored in English, but what I ended up doing with my degree is I also got an additional credential in classical civilization. So what that did for me, luckily, was really gave me kind of an historical view, especially with regards to the art and the architecture, because that was really the part of it that interested me the most with regards to these classical civilizations. And that's really looking at the Romans, the Greeks, the Etruscans, and that whole, you know, time period.
Okay, so what about the whole thing then? And, okay, this is something that always gets me.
What's going to get you if we don't break?
If they're going to get
you, don't want to know. The hand's going to come through your screen and do things you don't want to talk about. I don't know where I started that from. Kelly Farmer, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
We can all agree these are troubled times, right? So do you know who's on your wireless network? Whether it's a big company selling your data or a foreign hacker, if you're not protected, everybody sees your information. That's why you need Flash Routers, a custom Wi-Fi router created for privacy. Flash Routers uses a virtual private network or VPN to protect your online activity from hackers, trackers, and large corporations. And not just one, but all your devices with one out-of-the-box setup. Plus, Flash Routers also enhances your wireless network performance and unlocks powerful router management tools to let you take total control of your network. Call or click Flash Routers today at 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. That's 1-866-509-5817 or flashrouters.com. Protect your wireless home network today with Flash Routers.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Randall was starting to discuss and ask a question of Kelly, our guest this week. Proceed.
Right, Kelly. Yeah. What we have is we have the skeptics on one side and we have the believers on the other. Mm-hmm. And somewhere in between, there's people like us who are trying to sort it all out. Yeah. And so you get the ancient aliens people who go, there's no way they could have built the pyramids. It had to be aliens with anti-gravity beams. And then you get the skeptics that go, oh, no, look at Thor Heyerdahl. I mean, he went and carved out a big chunk of rock and actually you know, floated it down the river and out to the site. So sure, they could do it. And so, you know, on one hand, when it comes to things that are seemingly fantastic, people are these amazing beings that are brilliant and had such great knowledge at the time, and we just underestimate them. And yet, if some really credible people these days see something completely out of the ordinary, they go, no, people are just these fallible beings who don't know what they're talking about or understand half of the way the world works. So there seems to be this double standard going on. Mm-hmm. What really went on with the pyramids? Were they built by people or were they built by aliens?
You know, that's probably the question that is the hardest to answer. In that what do I believe personally? I'm of the understanding that people did build it with knowledge that we've lost at some point. If you look at the monoliths across the world, it looks like at one point, we as humans had the ability and the knowledge to be able to create these large things out of stone and move them in some way pretty easily.
Well, thank you for that, because yeah. I tend to agree with you. I think these megalithic structures were created by people, and there's been a number of people demonstrate how such large stones could be cut and moved. So, you know, I just don't think we need to invoke aliens. At the same time, there is some interesting mythology in Egypt about gods that came from the sky. And here again, we have, like you were talking about earlier before the break, where we have these commonalities in between different cultures. We have sun gods that I think we have. Of course, the sun is everywhere, so maybe we shouldn't be too surprised that in North America there are sun gods and in Egypt there are sun gods. But still, we do have these common factors.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah, obviously, like I said, you're going to have the god of the sun, the god of the moon. That's going to be pretty standard. So I decided, you know, in some of my research, I've looked at kind of things that maybe aren't so physical or concrete, such as those types of things that you're going to see everywhere, and rather kind of concepts and ideas. And it's interesting when you look at it. For example, I did an episode of my show, and this is something I'm going to actually end up documenting and claiming to have a free ebook for people that sign up on my website. I haven't released it yet.
Hey, look, it'll happen. One of the things we love to do here on the Paracast is we like to be sort of grassroots too. Mm-hmm. You know, we have some high profile guests in our guest roster, but you know, we really love to find people who maybe, you know, need a little bit more of a boost. And that's why, you know, one of the things when I ran across your site, I said, hey, there's somebody we've got to get on the show. Because being a podcast, and it's not all about just getting the high-profile people. It's about giving people like yourself a bit of a boost. So, you know, don't be too concerned about any of that. It'll happen. You'll get it out there.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
But you were saying...
Yeah. One of the things I looked at, and this is what I'm planning on writing the book about. I started the research for it. I just haven't had the time because I did a major move, as I had mentioned to Gene recently, to kind of put everything a little bit off track. But it's really looking at like concepts for gods and goddesses. And I really started on my show. I had a conversation with people about the idea of mercy and kind of the different gods and goddesses of mercy across religions and across the world, and really what the idea means and really what the different interpretations of it are. You know, for example, the most commonly well-known goddess of mercy is in Buddhism. We have Kuan Yin, who was originally a male divinity in Tibet. But as it spread, the idea spread to China and to Southeast Asia, to other countries, she actually became a female. And really, it's that whole idea of mercy and compassion and the idea that this divinity decided not to fully, you know, ascend and, you know, leave our plane until everyone was free from suffering, because they didn't like seeing people suffer. When you look at certain Native American cultures, their idea of mercy is a goddess that will feed them when they're starving and gives them corn. When you look at Egypt, there's this small, not too well-known goddess who actually is kind of the goddess of like the specific area, and she's a goddess over really the different tombs. So whenever there were grave robbers, the idea is that she would kind of punish the grave robbers, which is pretty standard for different Egyptian gods and goddesses, and even in other cultures, for gods and goddesses to take to punish those who are transgressing. But what made this Egyptian goddess interesting is the fact that she would forgive and grant mercy to those who, you know, really apologized and, you know, repented for being grave robbers. Then she would allow them to survive the scorpion sting or the bite from the cobra that she would cause to happen. Or even in Nordic mythology, there's the goddess of mercy who decides who lives and dies on the battlefield. So in different cultures, it means different things, but at the end of the day, it's still this whole concept of taking away suffering, which you would think, yeah, that's something that would be standard, but it's interesting that each of them have their own divinity representing something like that in different ways.
What's also interesting about it is that you're talking about ancient religions, and when we get into ancient deities, they're filled with both gods and goddesses. And it is particularly the pagan religions, the goddess figure is actually, it seems to me, more prevalent and more important. And it only as Christianity started to basically come in and take over everything, did we end up with this patriarchal system where, you know, it's the old gray-bearded guy in thrown in the clouds with all his angels, and most of whom are men as well, you know. So I really find some of the ancient deities much more interesting.
Yes, and I agree with that. It's interesting. Oops. It's interesting to really also kind of look at, you know, the idea of religious syncretism.
You know what? Let's explain that more in detail,
yes.
Kelly, in our next segment. Gene okay. and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump tells a crowd in Tupelo, Mississippi, he and his supporters are the targets of what he sees as a conspiracy.
The Democrats, the media, and the deep state are desperate to stop us.
The president was slamming the House Democrats for their impeachment inquiry into his seeming effort to get Ukraine to investigate the Democrats, former Vice President Joe Biden, and his son Hunter. Biden, in a speech at the Liberty and Justice Celebration in Des Moines, Iowa, calls the president a threat who lacks the character this country needs.
This is a man who started his campaign based on hate and division, dividing people in ways that we haven't been divided before. This is a man who's embraced tyrants and dictators.
This is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
We're explaining esoterica with the help of Kelly Farmer. Please proceed.
So it's getting into religious syncretism, and this is the whole idea of you have a new religion. Well, this is a type of religious syncretism where you have a religion
well,
that's
what
coming
is syncretism
in.
First? Let's.
So what it is, it's when one religion. Well, there's two versions of it. There's the version of you create a whole different religion by combining combining multiple religions that may or may not have something to do with each other and create this whole new religion. So examples of that would be
Wicca?
Well, not necessarily Wicca. It would be more like, I don't know if you've heard of Kaudai, which is an Asian religion where it's a combination of Buddhism and Catholicism.
Oh, interesting. No, never heard of it. Okay.
And there is, I'm trying to remember the name of the religion. That's a really good example of it.
Oh, trust me, it only gets worse from here, Big. I'm over 60 and, I was trying to remember the name of the actress that Woody Allen often had star in his movies, and it took me a day to remember, so...
It's going to drive me crazy until I remember. Oh, Baha'i. That's what I was
trying to remember. There you go. Yeah, Baha'i. Much less than a day.
Yeah.
Baha'i, yeah, sure, we've heard of the Baha'i faith.
Yeah, and that would be, that's an example of, you know, pure religious syncretism. What it also falls under that category is things such as Christianity, and when Christianity, you know, takes on these ideas of, like, the winter solstice from pagan religions and turns it into Christmas.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Christianity did a lot of that. And you can see, and we're coming up to Christmas, just, you know, for our audience, just have a look at some of the Christmas cards out there and look at the symbolism and what they have to say. And it goes back to the pagan religion, mm-hmm. much more so than the Christian religion. I mean, I don't think they thought that Jesus was born in December. It was at all. It's like completely the wrong time of year. It was a pagan midwinter festival, and they needed something to you know put the big stamp of Christianity on it, and in order to basically shove it out of the way, and that's what they decided to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I mean, I could be wrong, but this is my understanding of it.
that is what did happen. And, you know, they also not only did that with holidays, but they did that, you know, with actually small, minor divinities as well. So in certain pagan religions, there's the whole idea of Bridget, who actually in Christianity became a saint. So what, you know, they've basically, by doing that, they're really taking on these ideas from these other religions in one sense to make it easier for the people that they're really taking the area over of to accept it. It makes it easier. Another example of that would be in Buddhism, traditionally, there's no ancestor veneration in traditional Buddhism. But as it spread to different parts of China, Vietnam, and other Southeast Asian countries, they added the whole idea of ancestor veneration, which is actually a Taoist concept, was absorbed into Buddhism and is just considered a normal thing. So Christianity has done that a lot, obviously, as we discussed. And really, by doing that, they demoted, in some senses, a lot of those female divinities in exchange for really promoting that whole idea of a single or main male divinity sitting on a chair in the clouds in the sky, as we discussed.
Right. Yeah. I shouldn't be chuckling under my breath here. There are a lot of people, and we mean no disrespect to people of any religion out there. It's just, once we step outside the ketchup bottle and we try to take a look through a wider lens at the bigger picture, we see that these are facts about history that have taken place. And I think they're really interesting. But how do we tie this back into the paranormal, though? I mean, do we do that with things like, okay, so we touched on back at the beginning of the show, angels, for example. Mm-hmm. There's the visions at Fatima.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. What do you think was going on there with those things?
Well, it's interesting because when you talk about Fatima, as you mentioned, there's a lot of people that actually believe that that was, you know, an extraterrestrial. There are the ideas, like if you look at the Book of Enoch, people talk about that. They give that as an example of someone who was taken, abducted by aliens, given all this information, brought back to Earth, and allowed to kind of spread the information. If you look at these kind of religious points of view, it's kind of becomes slightly easier, or at least it kind of gives you those ideas of how you can kind of tie it back to the paranormal.
Well, we get people from time to time that will go, well, UFOs are transports from hell.
Yeah, there
we have this whole idea that, you know, it's almost like a superstition. Don't get involved with mm-hmm. any of that, because what you're dealing with is the dark side. It's something mm-hmm. evil. It's coming from hell, if you get yourself involved in that, you're going to find yourself in a whole heap of trouble.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very true. So you have those people that are under, you know, that assumption. You have those people that actually believe, you know, when you look, there are people that do interpret, though, you know, parts of the Bible as different aliens, like the Nephilim. They feel like those were aliens that came and crossbred with people. And
I mean, it seems very much like that. I mean, there's some people that have called the Bible the greatest UFO book ever written. It's just filled with stories that are really quite amazing. And that if you were to take literally as actually taking place, there really isn't much of an explanation other than we're dealing with some kind of an extraterrestrial or at least an alien presence on planet Earth back in those days.
But it also implies here that we had visitations by such beings in times gone by. And that takes us to the ancient astronaut theories.
It does. But there are people that, you know, because if you look at it now, even looking at modern times, not even looking back at ancient astronaut theory, there's still people now that feel that they have physical contact. I mean, not that type of physical, but like, you know, interactions with aliens now that are based on more of a spiritual point of view. And have you heard of the Zender phenomenon in South America?
Please elaborate.
So there is actually this whole idea. There's a name is, I can't remember his first name. He's got a very, very normal sounding South American name. I can't quite remember off the top of my head. Hopefully I'll remember soon. He basically has supposedly a connection with these beings from another planet that are supposed to be fifth dimensional beings. But what's interesting about it is that supposedly there are, and there are pictures of these things, and there are people that have actually gone and experienced this, where they'll tell him where he communicates with them telepathically, supposedly, and they'll open portals in certain parts of the world. And the aliens will actually come through and meet with people, talk to people. There are pictures of them. They've developed over the ocean. They've developed in the mountains. He's done it at least once, from what I've heard, in California, Mount Shasta. And there were a couple of UFO researchers that actually went up there and supposedly did have face-to-face contact with supposed extraterrestrial beings.
You know what? Let's stop it there for a moment. Kelly Jean Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Helly, of course, I wonder about people who claim they've had encounters with so-called extraterrestrial beings. This almost takes us back to the 50s and 60s, where we had George Adamski and Howard Menger and Truman Bethlehem and all these people meeting handsome, beautiful people from other planets here to save us from ourselves. It sounds similar from what you're saying.
Yeah, no, it does. So the gentleman's name is Ricardo Gonzalez. And I know what you're talking about with that, Gene, that there's been like these stories in the past and et cetera, et cetera. I think it sounds, though, you know, a little bit. Maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, in my opinion, it does. These stories, though, from him and these people sound, you know, a little bit different because they're, like I said, there are pictures of these portals that are supposedly being created. You can actually look them up online. And, you know, they've, like I said, there's been a few researchers that have gone and experienced it. Paula Harris being one of them. And her testimony of it is very interesting. And I think Grant Cameron also had an experience with Ricardo Gonzalez similarly. And it's based on this whole idea of, I don't know if you're familiar with the movement of like the, of these, the interactions, you know, through meditation and kind of calling the extraterrestrial in and kind of developing that sort of connection that
sort of like an alien channeling thing.
Not necessarily an alien channeling thing. It's like if you do like a mass group meditation, there are people that claim that they can summon, you know, UFOs to come into the sky, that they'll have like a UFO experience.
Right. See, now what we're doing is we're getting out there into what we would call the fringe area again.
No, it's like, I understand.
It's like, okay, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm what Gene would call more like one of the nuts and bolts
guys,
you know, it's seen on radar. They send a jet up, the jet captures it on radar and the pilot sees it. And, you know, that sort of thing. And yet we do have, like you're saying, these experiences that people have, contactees. We've had guests on who have claimed to have been taken aboard craft and actually interacted with other people on the craft who they didn't know. And then when they exited the craft off and went back to their own homes in different parts of the world, they were later able to contact each other and confirm that they had the same experience, which I find really interesting. I mean, that stretches my belief out there, but how do you explain that?
Mm-hmm. No, and I know that, you know, when you get into kind of these newer, like these quote unquote new age people that are starting to get into the UFO phenomenon, that you do start to look at these things that are less, you know, nuts and bolts and make it more difficult. And I'm not saying that I necessarily, you know, believe those people that are doing those mass meditations. I think that just what was interesting to me about the whole Ricardo Gonzalez idea was the fact that it's not only, you know, not just people, you know, that are within his group that are having these experiences, but it's like, you know, like I said, other individuals who had nothing to do with him that were kind of invited and did have an interaction, quote unquote, or they claim to have with, you know, a being that was, and they were fully conscious and they were, you know, all together and walking together and had this experience with what is apparently like an 8 or 9 foot being that they felt was, you know, at least interdimensional, if not extraterrestrial. But again, I wasn't there, so I can't say for sure.
Okay. Fair enough. But one of the other things, and Gene, of course, you know, feel free to chime in here, but it seems like that when it comes to contactees, there has been nothing that has come from any of them that tells us anything we don't already know. It's like we get the, what is it, Gene? We've got the environmental messages and the anti-nuclear messages and...
You name it, peace and brotherhood. We're here to help you rather than to harm you. The other thing is here, even if they are contacting something, seeing something, how do we know what that something is? Because they tell us so?
Mm-hmm. And that's actually, you know, a good point. I mean, this will take us back for a second to that fringe idea, but the whole idea of channeling is not something that I agree with in any shape, way, shape, or form. Contacting and channeling something, because you don't know what it is. It can say it's whatever. It can say that it's an alien from, you know, Neptune, but how do you know that it is? So it's one of those things I don't actually support at all personally.
Well, you guys both make a really good point there. And like from the third perspective here, I mean, we're just having a discussion on all of this, is I do believe that people are having these experiences. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sure if all of them are, or if as a matter of fact, I'm quite confident that probably some of them are fabricated or embellished or exaggerated or are some sort of docu-fiction. But at the same time, the ones who are having these genuine experiences, something is taking place that we don't really understand. And it seems like the whole point of it is that we can't prove it. So what does that say about the nature of the experience if we're going to try to explain it as something? Why would some being, in other words, out there go through such a process to contact us and yet give us nothing in order to prove its veracity?
And that's, you know, a very good point. And I mean, even if you look at it from kind of a more practical point of view, that's a lot of effort to go through not to really give anything that could be proven for anyone.
It is. I think the absence of that evidence is telling in and of itself. It reveals, and of course this is me sticking my theories into the conversation, but we're just having a discussion. We do that here. I know a lot of other talk shows don't, but we do. Because we have to in order to elicit, say, your idea on the idea that, okay, if they're intentionally not giving the people that they contact any information to actually prove that what their experience was something real, there's got to be a reason for it. And that says something about the nature of why they contact these people in the first place. And so we might say something like, one of the first things that entered my mind is, well, they don't want to insert themselves into their experiment. They don't want to give people that information because they want to see how people will react when put into the situation where they can't prove the situation and yet it was real.
That's assuming, of course, they're engaged in some kind of psychological testing of those primitive earthlings. Let's see how they react if we do this. Let's see how they react if we create the image of a flying saucer. Let's see how they react. Then again, maybe a few cases,
might have been, especially in the 50s and 60s, related to government activities. In fact, Howard Menger, they once called him the Jerzy Adamski, told people watching a TV show, to the chagrin of the host, Long John Nebel, that he didn't think. He was really contacted by aliens and implied a government experiment. He told us that, too. This is back in the 60s. Ages me. So you wonder here, to what degree has there been government intervention trying to see how would we react if we were led to believe we were being visited by alien beings to possibly prepare us for that eventuality?
Interesting theory. I mean, they're actually then mimicking the aliens themselves in their own way by doing their own psychological manipulation and experiments on the general population. Mm-hmm. So we've got two things, and it seems to add up. I mean, when we look at it, what do you think, Kelly? I mean, does that sound like it makes any sense at all?
You know, I mean, I've heard, you know, similar ideas to that, you know, perhaps the government does have all this information, but they just don't believe. Well, that there's two ways to look at it. In one case, that they don't believe that we would be able to handle it and have done experiments by having like these slow drip, quote unquote, slow drip disclosure or rumors going around and kind of seeing how people react and realizing that people aren't going to react the way that they want them to. So they withheld the information. And then, you know, there's also the other point of view that they're withholding, that it's possible they have information and they're withholding it because it, you know, they don't want us to have that knowledge because there's other benefits that they have for us to not know. But then that kind of calls into question of, well, why then would, if there are extraterrestrials contacting us, why aren't they just telling us that information?
Well, it may be here that a whole bunch of things happening, but the drip, drip, drip of disclosure is something I'd like to explore in our next segment. Kelly Farmer, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items. And entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Join me, George Norrie, at the Health Freedom Expo October 25th and 26th in Tinley Park near Chicago. The Health Freedom Expo is an incredible weekend exploring the latest in natural and alternative medicine with more than 100 lectures, workshops, and exhibits. Meet leading experts including Patch Adams, Lisa Oz, Ocean Robbins, Doc Wallach, Erin Elizabeth, and so many more. Plus, I'll host a luncheon and discussion on natural healing breakthroughs. The Health Freedom Expo can help you learn to achieve a naturally vibrant and healthy life. Join us to explore how you can take your wellness into your own hands and meet others who are doing the same thing. Get your tickets today at TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com. That's TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com or call 1-888-658-3976. That's 1-888-658-3976. TrinityHealthExpo.com or 1-888-658-3976.